Welcome to the ELI's Finding Chicago Global Perspectives podcast series for AEPP 2021. I'm your host, Wanawat Wesikin, and I'm currently enrolled in the University of Chicago's Law School. Today, we will be exploring this one Chicago, who is an example of people bringing about the change they want to see in this world by art, education, and culture. The story of Margaret Taylor Burroughs, whose favorite quote is, "If first you don't succeed, try again." As a preparation for my first day of the AEPP course, I was assigned homework to explore Chicago beaches. I started looking them up from this great website, chicagoparkdistrict.com. And then I found lots of these amazing beaches all around Chicago. Most of them are named after streets such as 57th, 12th, and North Avenue Beach. And then I came across this one beach, Margaret T. Burroughs Beach. This name caught my attention. As a student of English as a second language, I happened to not be able to pronounce this name properly and correctly. So I just googled Margaret T. Burroughs pronunciation. And the first thing that popped up is a video of Miss Burroughs herself reading her masterpiece poem, which is called "What Shall I Tell My Children Who Are Black?" After watching this video, I just thought to myself, how come I never heard of this person before? Dr. Burroughs was born in St. Rose, Louisiana in 1917, and at the age of 3, she moved to Chicago with her family during the Great Migration of African American people in 1920. As an artist, she produced a lot of artwork conveying the message of racial equality and human dignity. For example, Dr. Burroughs used art to make a statement that, and I quote, "skin color is just an overemphasized minor difference among people," end of the quote. This can be seen through a lot of her work showing black and white people living together in harmony, or people with half white or half black faces. However, as an artist, Dr. Burroughs did not only make artwork, but she also established art institutions. In 1940, Dr. Burroughs and her team created the Southside Community Art Center, and it has played a major role for the development of Chicago's African American artists by connecting community members and visitors to African American art. And also, in 1961, Miss Burroughs founded the Ebony Museum of Negro History and Art on the very first floor of her home. Miss Burroughs would describe this place as, and I quote, "Although this museum may not be the first or the biggest African American museums in the world, but it is the only one that grew out of the African American community, started by ordinary people," end of the quote. And today, the museum was renamed the Dusable Museum, located in Washington Park, and it is a must-visit site for those of you who are interested in the roots of African American culture. Well, the exhibition here includes the art and impact of Dr. Margaret T. Burroughs herself, Chicago 1919 Race Riot, and stories of colored women in World War I. As an educator and prison reformer, Dr. Burroughs would visit Stateville Maximum Prison for over 30 years in order to help the prisoners, her students, to transform their lives through art and writing educations. Dr. Burroughs' technique is to make all students believe that they are artists, whether they know it or not. So, art is not supposed to be hard. It is supposed to be something that is already inside of everybody. By doing this, Dr. Burroughs allowed the inmates to communicate to the outside world regarding their conditions in prison and their feelings as a human being. All of this is done with the hope to one day transform the criminal systems. Being a black African-American woman during probably the worst time of racism and sexism in America's history, Dr. Burroughs had to face challenges from both her skin color and her gender. But as you can see, those things could not and did not stop her at all. She knew that the inequality she endured was not acceptable to anyone, the black, the white, the Asian, and any other races. That is when she used something that she did the best, which is art, to communicate in a wider context of activism, what we would call today as artistic activism. An April 9, 2018 article by Stephen Duncombe and Steve Lambert from the Center for Artistic Activism said that, and I quote, "At first glance, the aims of art and activism seem inconsistent with one another. While activism moves the material world leading to protest or marching, art moves the heart, body, and soul of people. However, these two concepts are actually complementary, and this is because social change doesn't just happen. It happens because people decide to make change. And when you combine art and activism together, artistic activism can escape the limitation of traditional forms of protest and can produce a fruitful outcome where people and the societies can communicate and express their thoughts and will through art. Especially in a country facing dread of repressive regimes where people in power make a clear rule that any forms of protest is unacceptable, and if you break this rule, there will be prices to pay for, whether it is an arrest, tear gas, water cannon, or even torture. However, artistic activism can escape and slip through the radar of the authorities, as they may not be categorized as politics or protest, while still able to communicate messages to the public. Well, artistic activism is not a new concept. It has been around for a long time. However, artistic activism has become more and more impactful, not only in America, but all around the globe. In London, a street artist named Banksy uses street art to protest human greed and consumerism. In Australia, Mariana DeRee used fashion to raise awareness of recycling and ocean pollution. And in many countries, with the influence of the internet, many creators posted their artwork on social media to express their opinions to the government. Dr. Burroughs and these artists' stories are examples of how important artistic activism can be in creating visions or guide the public what really is going on in the society and pave ways for more concrete actions to follow. Imagine that while it might take years of trainings for one to understand about laws, politics, or root causes of social issues, it might take an hour or even minutes for them to understand the legal and political implications of an artwork. I hope you enjoyed the story of Dr. Margaret T. Burroughs. Apart from her extraordinary personality and her action of artistic activism, what we can learn from Dr. Burroughs' story is the belief that we all can contribute to the societies. It may be true that the government has a significant role in creating jobs, building infrastructure, or providing state welfare, but how many people or countries have suffered from failed government? And when that happens, what can we as an individual do to make things better? Dr. Burroughs' story reminds me that there is an activist and an artist inside all of us. and we all can bring about the changes we want to see in the world. And if first you don't succeed, try and try again. Thank you so much for listening. Bye.